Mark chapter 15, we're going to begin with verse 15. And wishing to satisfy the multitudes, Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers took him away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and they called together the whole Roman cohort, and they dressed him up in purple, and after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they kept beating his head with a staff made of reed, and spitting at him, and kneeling and bowing before him. And after they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they brought Jesus to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he would not take it. And they crucified him and divided up his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide which each should take. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that as we contemplate these things and we think about all that you have done for us, I pray, Lord, that we might just truly be thankful for the gift of salvation this Christmas. That it would be our goal and opportunity to share this wonderful message with those who have not yet received it. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to show forth your love as we have a chance to speak of Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So today we're wrapping up our Christmas series. So we spent the last 2 weeks talking about the true meaning of Christmas. We started with the need for salvation due to the sin of man. Last week we talked about the gift that God gave, that he provided a sacrifice for the sins of man by sending his very own son into the flesh so that he might provide that sacrifice. And today I want us to look at the price. When we talk about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and we talk about the crucifixion, I think there's times that we easily say that Jesus died on the cross, but we don't truly contemplate the great sacrifice that it was. Everyone in this room rightly deserves the wrath of God. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we have earned the price of eternal damnation. We deserve God's eternal torment because of our rebellion against him. But God, in his mercy and in his love, had Jesus, his only begotten Son, come to this earth, fulfill the requirements for innocent man, and pay the price for our sins by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. And I want us just to look as we walk through here these things. I'm not going to describe everything in gory detail because, boy, it is intense. But I at least want you to get a pretty good feel for the price that was paid for our salvation. It did not come lightly. The Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer as we should have suffered. And because the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth it shall die, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us deserve eternal damnation. And that's the natural dilemma of man. We have committed sin, and we deserve death, period. We can't argue our case. There's no justifiable excuses for our behavior. There are no considerations given to us because of our relative goodness when we compare ourselves to maybe a common thief or a rapist or a murderer. There are no loopholes in God's laws and His demands of eternal righteousness. In God's eyes, even that one small act of rebellion, that one small act contrary to His will and His command, is sufficient to condemn us to hell. Thus, we deserve to die, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I deserve to die eternally. You deserve to die eternally. Every person who has walked on the face of this earth and lived out their unrighteousness deserve, and rightly deserve, to die because of their rebellion against God. But the Apostle John writes to us in the third chapter, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our dilemma was solved because God loved us eternally and chose to provide a sacrifice for our sins. And He sent Jesus, His only begotten Son, as that sacrifice, as a substitute. Jesus took our place, and in taking our place, He experienced all the punishment that we rightly deserved. So we should not take what Christ did lightly. So let's look at that suffering this morning in our text. I'm going to back up just a little bit to get started with this in Mark chapter 14. The beginning of this whole saga is when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and then stood before the Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin, and was under trial. Chapter 14, verse 46. Chapter 14, verse 65. This is when they finished interrogating Jesus in the Sanhedrin. Some began to spit at Him and to blindfold Him and to beat Him with their fists and to say to Him, prophesy. And the officers received Him with slaps in the face. So the very first thing is that Jesus had to face this mock trial. And then when they were finished with that, the people around there started to slap on Him and abuse Him in both verbal and material ways. And then He goes and stands before the Roman court, Mark chapter 15, verse 15, and is found innocent, but yet Pilate gives in and says, okay, fine, we'll have Him crucified, because he wished. All right, grab your hymn.